A man making the ultimate sacrifice so that others may live. This is at the heart of the gospel. In Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many." It's that gospel message that gives us hope and encouragement for each new day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon as we again consider the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. Join us, won't you, as we again spend some time reflecting on God's Word, the Bible. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good day and welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me once again. Well, to begin with today, I'd like you to imagine a brother or sister in Christ. And this person thinks to himself or herself, reflecting, thinking, "I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for many years. I believed the gospel, but now it's up to me to live out my faith and do my part. For me, the good news, well, really, that's old news. What I really need is to be told what to do next." You know, that way of thinking, it's quite common today. And maybe thoughts like that have even entered your own mind. There's often a temptation to regard the gospel as something only for the beginning of the Christian life. Once we believe, then our greatest need becomes not good news anymore, but good advice or good instruction. Now, don't get me wrong. To be sure, we do need to be instructed in the whole counsel of God. But what I'm trying to say is that that can never be divorced from the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for Christians too. The gospel can never be taken for granted. The gospel is what gives us strength and encouragement for each day. Because the gospel points us to Christ. To Christ, whom 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says is not only our redemption, but also our sanctification. The gospel is what powers a Christian life. This week on Gospel Talk, we're looking at Romans 5, verses 18 to 19. Let me read those verses with you. "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." Here we find that powerful gospel message of what Christ has done for us outside of us. Here we find that powerful good news of what Christ has done for us in our place. In this compelling Bible passage here in Romans 5, 18 to 19, God proclaims to us that our justification and our life come through Jesus Christ alone. That's a message that was brought to the Roman Christians, to people who had already believed in Jesus Christ, by the Apostle Paul. That message was brought to them. And that's a message that all of us need to hear on a regular basis. And I'm glad that today I can also proclaim it to you. Now, before we can look at what happens through Jesus Christ here in Romans 5, we have to consider what happens through someone else. The Apostle Paul speaks here of the one trespass and the disobedience of the one man. Well, what's he talking about when he says that? Well, he's looking back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis 3 in particular, and what happened with our first parents, Adam and Eve. I think many of us are familiar with that. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them perfect. Adam and Eve were sinless. They were totally set on serving God and loving their neighbor. They were placed in the Garden of Eden, and God had fellowship with them there. And in the Garden of Eden, they could eat from all the trees of the garden except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God warned them that if they should eat the fruit of that tree, they would introduce death to the human race. Well, we all know what happened, don't we? The devil came along, disguised himself as a serpent, and he introduced doubt. He introduced suspicion about God to the woman. And when the woman, when Eve heard it, she bought it. She went ahead and ate the fruit. And she gave some to her husband, encouraged him, and he ate it too. This was the fall into sin. This is the one trespass that Paul is referring to in verse 18 when he says, "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men." Paul is referring to Adam and Eve. This is also the disobedience that's referred to in verse 19 when he says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man," it's referring to Adam. Adam's trespass led to condemnation for everyone in the human race. Through his disobedience to God's command, everyone in the human race, including me, including you, everyone has become a sinner in God's eyes. And God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. The prophet Habakkuk, in chapter 1, verse 13, says about God, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong." God is holy, and we are not. And in his holiness, God is, like Hebrews 12:29 says, a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. And so, if you are a sinner in God's eyes, the result is condemnation from God, doom, punishment for eternity, God's wrath eternally on you. Everyone is condemned because of Adam's sin. That's all of us. And we call that original sin. Adam was the head of the human race. He represented all of us, and he failed. And his failure is passed on to each and every one of us. It is imputed to all of us. As someone once rightly said, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And that was why David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." David and all people with him come into this world already stained with sin, born to die because of Adam's sin. If Adam had never fallen into sin, we would never have to mourn at a funeral. So there's original sin, and that leads to condemnation for every single person. That leads to death and all the rotten things that are in this world. We've all been made sinners by Adam's fall, and we all suffer the brokenness and the consequences of that fall. So there's original sin. But we also have our actual sins. We contribute enough of our own trespasses and disobedience. And all that's a huge problem. You know, some people have some rather curious ideas about God. Some people think, for instance, that God grades on a curve. Some think that the way to heaven is through good deeds and living a decent life, living a good life. As if God has a scale, and when the time comes for you to stand before God, he'll weigh your good deeds and bad deeds, and if the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then you get to go to heaven. But we should consider God's evaluation of what we think are good deeds. And we find that evaluation in Scripture. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, for instance, God says that the deeds we think are righteous are, in fact, filthy rags to him. Moreover, we should also consider God's standard for what is good in his sight. Where is that standard found? Well, friends, it's found in God himself, in the Holy One, in his holy character. You know what holiness means, right? Holiness means that God is completely set apart from sin and anything to do with sin. God has a holy character, and that comes to full expression in God's holy law. His law reflects his character. The Lord Jesus expressed the stringent demand of God's law in Matthew 5:48. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "You shall be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." When Jesus said that, he was summarizing the demand of God's law. This is not easy. And in the verses before that, Jesus gives us an idea of what that perfection would look like. The sixth commandment says, do not kill. Jesus said, it's not enough that you don't murder someone. Even if you hate your neighbor and you call him names, you insult him, you've broken God's law. You've broken the sixth commandment. The seventh commandment says, do not commit adultery. Jesus said that it's not enough that you don't sleep with your neighbor's husband or wife. Even if you look at another person who's not your spouse with lust, you've broken the seventh commandment. You see, the law of God is not just about external actions. It goes to the heart. And that's really where we constantly fail. God demands nothing less than perfection, both for the external and the internal, both from our hands and our hearts. And we simply can't do it. We cannot offer the obedience that God's law demands, that God demands from us. And that, friends, is bad news. That is bad news for sinners. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't make any contribution. Also, we can't pay for our sins ourselves. We can't atone for them or make up for them. Sinners can't make the payment that God demands. You see, the deep seriousness of sin rests in the majesty and the holiness of the one who is sinned against. That's why hell is an eternal punishment. Those who are in hell will never pay, and they spend eternity learning that lesson. Only a sinless human being can pay the debt that we owe to God. And this is where we come to the gospel, to the good news. I know you might be thinking that over the last few minutes, you know, this is all very negative, very dark. But before we can understand how the gospel is good news, how the gospel also gives us comfort and strength today, we do have to understand how bad the bad news is. The good news is only so good because the bad news is so bad. The bad news is bad. And we shouldn't gloss over that. But then the good news is really good. The good news is that the gospel gives what the law requires. In the gospel, we find that God, in his love, sent his Son into this world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. In the good news about Jesus Christ, we find justification. We find a way to be declared right with God. Paul speaks in Romans 5:18 about one act of righteousness that brings about the justification that brings life. That one act of righteousness refers to everything that Jesus Christ did in suffering and dying for those who believe in him. We're going to spend more time looking at this passage from Romans 5 tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me for that. I'm glad that you did join me today, and I wish you God's richest blessing.
Gospel Talk is brought to you by the Canadian and American Reformed Churches in British Columbia and Northwest Washington State. Did you know that you can subscribe to Gospel Talk as a podcast? Just go to the iTunes store, do a search on Gospel Talk, and subscribe. You can have the programs automatically delivered to your iPod or other MP3 player. You can also go to our blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, and look for the orange RSS feed button on the right side of that page. Click on that button and follow the instructions. At the blog, you can also find our archive of past programs, and you can leave your comments or questions. Again, that blog address is gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening today, and we hope you'll join us again soon.